Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Patrina LaFea, and I would like to welcome you to this new journey, Home Alone with Kids. This is a podcast series where you will be following me along this whole COVID-19 journey, which entails me being home alone with my kids. I am a single mother of three. I love my kids dearly. And this journey, I know, is going to be hard. I know there's going to be some definite fun moments and laughing moments and teachable moments. But most importantly, I expect to be stronger than ever when this pandemic is over. Some of the things that I've been doing from the very beginning when I heard, you know, kids weren't going to school, it was going to be an extra 2 weeks off of March break, was definitely social media. You always turn to social media. It's like one of the biggest things that, you know, is monetizing right now. And there are so many different people coming up with different schedules to help parents stay on track and keep their kids on track and keep their children on track with school and kind of just build a routine for your children. So I screenshotted all of these different ones, you know, one's waking them up earlier, one's waking them up later, ones that are letting them do what they want for a little bit, and then some that are a little bit structured. And essentially my goal was to take all of these great things that all of these people have created and merge them together. Now I'm sitting down like, okay, I'm going to take a little bit of this. I'm going to take a little bit of that. I'm going to take a little bit of this, and I'm going to create my own home spice. Little did I know, none of it was going to work. None of it. Absolutely none of it. There was the basket trick. Take a basket. Each child gets their own colored basket. With those baskets, you know, you put all their snacks in for the day. Once they're done those snacks, they get no more fruits and juice boxes. And like, once they've gone through their basket for the day, that's it. Whew! I kid you not. I did these baskets at maybe 9:30 because I was going on a call with a client at 10 o'clock. So I like to prepare them, get them ready, let them know, hey, when you see these headphones in, don't talk to me. But here's everything that you need. I kid you not. I got on that call at 10 and I can see them, but I'm really trying not to pay attention to them because I'm really just trying to give my client everything that they pay for. I kid you not, by the end of the call, my son's basket was done. Clean, clean. Oranges were peeled and eaten, and I even gave him extra oranges. And so my son, Samuel Prince, he's the four-year-old, okay? Whew, basket was done. I was like, Sam. He's like, what? You said they were my snacks. Yeah, but that was your snacks for the day, buddy. Oh, well, so I get no more snacks? No, you ate all your snacks. He's like, no, that's not right. And of course, he got more snacks for the day because he literally ate everything in one shot. So here's my backstory about Sam, so you can get a little bit of an idea of who this kid is. Number one, the smartest kid in the world. This kid retains every single thing. You teach him one thing and he will remember it forever. You know, my son made a video talking about COVID-19 and how, you know, you're supposed to kick with your, say hi, give a high five with your foot or with your elbow. Like, he literally retains everything. What happened? My son was born at 10 pounds, 6 ounces. Now, he was a baby that was overdue, number one. And I was huge. I was huge. Like, I'm already a chubby person in general, but I was like 4 times my size. I was huge. And they were like, oh, you have diabetes, you know, the gestational but diabetes, you have this, you have that. And I had none of it. I had absolutely none of it. None of it. I just had a big honking baby. And it was time to push. And literally, I couldn't push him out. He was like literally up under my breast. But because I'm big in nature, the doctor is like feeling for the heartbeat down in my stomach. And I'm telling the doctor, look, there's nothing down there. He's like, of course. He's like, you're over a week overdue. That baby's down there. And I said, no, that's fat. That's why you can't hear a heartbeat. Because that's just my belly. And the doctor was like, you're kidding me.
And he goes, where's the baby? And I said, all the way up here. And this doctor was like, damn, okay, well, let's push. And literally, I see the nurses and the doctors in the corner, and I know something's going to happen. And of course, I get wheeled in for an emergency C-section. And of course, I give birth to a 10-pound, 6-ounce baby. And because it was an emergency C-section and he had pooed in the sack, he had to stay in the NICU for 7 days, which was one of the hardest things of my life. Not because he was in the NICU, but because he was in the NICU at 10 pounds, 6 ounces. And literally beside babies who could fit in the palm of your hand or smaller, who could only feed through tubes. So it was really hard for me to go in and see him and then see other mothers who have now gone back to work because their babies are literally 2 months old, but their baby is still as small as the palm of your hand. And I'm sitting here with this big football who's brand new, so doesn't do anything but just sit there. By 3 days old, my son was drinking 4 ounces of formula in the NICU. I had brought a whole case of, you know, the ready-to-gos for them. And 3 days later, they called me and said, we're going to need more. I said, that's impossible. I left you 12. They said, yes, he's eating 4 ounces every 2 hours. I said, what? So he's my big guy in general. So to speed things up to today, he can chow down. Samuel Prince can chow down. I'm telling you, I am dealing with a child who is eating some solid food. Like not little food. Like I'm giving him solid food to hold him. Like Caribbean food, Jamaican porridge to hold him. And he will be halfway done. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to be hungry when this is done. And he laughs and he's like, Mommy, I don't know. It's not me. It's not me. It's just my teeth. Or my tummy says it's hungry. Or my teeth say they're hungry. It's not me, I promise. And what can I do? So of course now they're definitely on rations and I'm literally following school. They wake up, they eat breakfast. I'm literally setting a timer for 1.5 hours. You get a snack at 1.5 hours. 1 hour and 15 minutes after that should bring us to lunchtime. 1 hour and 15 or 1.5 hours after that should bring us to snack again, which should then bring us to your afternoon daycare snack, which then brings you to your dinner. Like, and for the last 1.5 weeks, I have to say it's been pretty good. They know that unless they hear my phone bell going off, they're not eating. Don't ask me, because I've done more grocery shopping in the last, I would say, 1.5 months than I've ever done. And I'm telling you, when I'm going to the grocery store, I'm spending $150 to $200. My kids are savages. Savages. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And, you know, they had a Zoom call with their daycare. And the one thing I could say to the daycare staff is I'm like, I will never take you guys for granted again. Like, I will never take you guys for granted again. Like, this is some next level business. But definitely, I will never take you guys for granted again. And in the scheme of things, all that I've been dealing with is the pressures of making sure that everything is done for them, that they feel good, that they look good, and that they don't see me when I'm in my flustered moments. But at this moment, I cannot be perfect. I'm only human, and I'm dealing with a lot that I normally wouldn't deal with. Now, I know you're saying, but you're a mom. You signed up for this. You knew what you were getting. You're right. I did. And I also have daycare that I pay for. I also have education that I pay for. So I don't expect things to happen like this. Keeping your kids for a weekend is different than keeping your kids Monday to Monday to Monday to Monday to Monday nonstop. Because number one, you're on quarantine. So godmothers and godfathers and people who would normally want to interact with them can't interact with them. And on top of it, I'm doing it by myself. So even when I'm tired, there's no relief for me. There's no one for me to tag team in and say, hey, you're in. I'm going to go take a 2-hour nap. I'll be back. I can't do that. It's me and only me. Again, I wouldn't trade my kids for anything in the world. I love them to death. But hey, there comes a moment where you're like, whew, let me breathe. Let me breathe. Let me breathe. It's just amazing, you know, everything that your kids do. And you're just like, oh, do you do this at school? Do you ask this much questions when you're at school? Do you interrupt the teacher this much times when you're in school? And, you know, Samuel Prince, he's in junior kindergarten, so it's his first year, versus my daughter, Paris, who's 7. She's in grade 2 and she's in French immersion. So for her, French, whew, you know, I definitely don't want that French to slip. So, you know, she speaks in French all the time and her accent is so amazing. And, you know, she's really great when it comes to the French. I don't worry about her when it comes to that. But it's like, okay, all this homework, it's all in French, all these books, she's reading it and she's saying all these accents and she's going on. And I'm like, okay, all right, girl, you got it. But then it's like, come, spell cat. And my daughter looks at me and she goes, I know how to spell cat. I'm like, okay, great. Spell cat. C-H-A-T. And the stink on that look, like, how dare I ask her to spell cat? And I start dying of laughter. I die of laughter because I'm like, no, that's not how you spell cat. She's like, yeah, it is. In chat. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it in French, but that's not how you spell cat in English. So here I am, this mother who's put her daughter in French immersion to excel her career and be paid more money and get better opportunities and be bilingual in a country that she was born in. And my girl can't spell cat. And again, once they reach senior kindergarten and you put them in French immersion, literally everything is in French. They literally transform them. And because they're so young, their minds are like sponges. They literally absorb all of it. So she's good at what she does. She's good. And when I say to her, it's C-A-T, and she goes, a what? I said, C-A-T. She goes, no. I said, yeah, that's how you spell it in English. She's like, oh, English. Like, but she really didn't know. She really didn't know. So now I'm home with her and I'm battling the, how much do I want to concentrate on the French versus how much do I want to introduce her to the English? Because if I don't allow her to pay attention to her French, she goes into grade 3 next year. You know, God forbid these kids are not home until September, but if they are home until September, that's a lot. And basically, if the kids are home until September, my girl is like behind, like really behind. So what is it that will happen? What is it that I will be able to do for her? I don't want to set my daughter up for failure. But I also want to set her up for the real world. So I am now in that limbo with her where it's, how much time do I spend on English? How much time do I spend on French? Because clearly they're not teaching you any English at school. So that's really where I'm at. My biggest woe, since this whole entire thing has started, the biggest woe is that, you know, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old bickering, they're at different levels. They always want to watch different things. They want to do different things at different times, but then they want to play with each other because there's no one else to play with, and they want to force each other to play each other's favorite games. So I decide to break up the arguing because my head just couldn't take it. I said, Paris, you know, why don't you go in the bathroom? Take a moment. Go in the bathroom, get cleaned up, change your clothes, you know, do something. You know, these kids are always putting headbands in and doing like funky things to themselves. So go in the bathroom, take your time, fix yourself up, girl, brush your teeth, wash your face, get yourself together, get yourself ready for the day. Don't worry about your brother. Get yourself ready for the day. And she goes, yeah, you know, I could use a little alone time. I said, okay, go do your thing. Who told me to do that? 10 minutes later, she comes out. and, you know, got on this funky dress and these tights, and like homegirl went to town in her closet. And then she comes and she's rubbing her eyebrows and she's like, I don't know, here just feels weird. But I was in my computer because I was doing work, so I didn't really pay attention to what she was saying. And I said to her, what are you talking about? And she was turning around and walking away. And I just happened to glimpse like the side of her. And I said, turn back around for me. And she came back and I said, what happened to your face? She goes, what? I said, what happened to your face? And she says, nothing. I said, okay, let's go to the bathroom. Because I'm that type of mom. Like, I can't do the argumentative conversation too long. You know, you're 7. I'm the mom. I'm not going to argue with you. Let's just go in the bathroom. Let's just settle it. And on my way to the bathroom, you know, we have the medicine cabinet. And the medicine cabinet is deep enough for you to hide stuff there, because I do that myself because I'm tall enough to reach. She wasn't tall enough to reach. So as soon as I'm walking to the bathroom, I see my pink razor just sitting on top of the mirror part of the cabinet. And I'm like, what? I didn't say anything to her. I didn't let her know that I could see the razor. And I sit on the toilet seat and I say, Paris, tell me what happened. What happened to your face? And she picks up her cloth and she's like, I just washed my face with the cloth and the soap. I'm like, so tell me everything in this bathroom that touched your face. And she said, the soap. And she pointed to her cloth and she said, my toothbrush. I said, your toothbrush touched your face. She said, yes. I said, okay, girl. And at this point, I'm laughing because it's comical. I said, what else happened? And she was like, nothing else happened. I said, okay. So I just picked up the razor because I'm not about to do this for 30 minutes with her. I picked up the razor and I put it on the ledge of the sink. And I said, where did you get this from? Because I do not leave razors out. I have a 2-year-old. I have a 4-year-old. These things are not left out. These things are in the medicine cabinet in a box that is not visible. You would not want to go in this box. This box does not look pleasing at all. Okay? And she said to me, you know that meme? That was my daughter, literally, for 5 minutes until I snapped my fingers and I was like, talk now. And she said to me, sometimes I hide the toothpaste in that box. So I went in that box to look for the toothpaste. I started dying of laughter because I know for a fact no toothpaste goes in that box. And I said, okay, so even if you went in the box to look for toothpaste, what made you take that out and put it to your eyebrows? And my daughter has these thick, healthy eyebrows, so thick and so healthy. So she took off the end of some of one eyebrow and then like a chunk from the top of the other eye. And I said, even when you did it to the other eyebrow and you noticed it didn't look good, why did you go to the next eyebrow? So my week, of course, was my daughter took a chunk out of her eyebrows. Both of them, not just one, both. So, you know, she didn't live that one down. Every time I looked at her for a couple of days, I laughed. It was just laughter. You know, her godmother was like, what? Like, everyone was just like, what happened? And it just, you know, it was a laughing moment. It was a laughing moment. But, you know, now comes the honesty moment of this podcast, where I will end all the podcasts, you know, with an honesty moment, because this time right now is definitely a very serious time. It's a very real time. And I'm definitely going through some very real emotions, even though the laughter and, you know, the comedic stuff that happened during the day, even though you couldn't even write a script to make this stuff up, there are some definitely real feelings. And I really do feel like I'm letting down my children. My honesty moment for episode 1 is, I am definitely feeling like I'm letting them down. I feel like I'm letting myself down, and I feel like I wasn't mentally prepared for this. Therefore, I'm going through the emotions, but I'm not really acknowledging how I feel. And if I were to tell you that there were not a couple of days where I cried at night, I'd be lying to you. There are so many uncertainty uncertain moments, and there's so much uncertain times ahead that you literally can't plan. You literally just have to take it day by day. And that's what I keep telling myself. Petrina, take it day by day. Your clients will understand. Your work will understand. And I haven't been giving my clients and my work the 100% that it deserves, because my children also deserve 100%, which I don't think I'm giving my children. So I'm definitely really battling a lot of emotions when it comes to being home with them, daily. And I don't know if the emotions are really rooted from the fact that I'm doing it by myself. Times like this, I wish things were different. Times like this, I wish that I had made different decisions. But all in all, you know, nothing is done before its time. And I'm just stuck in that I'm letting everyone down moment. I'm letting my clients down, I'm letting my children down, and I'm letting myself down. And that's my honesty moment for today. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Home Alone with Kids. My name is Petrina Lafea, and I cannot wait to talk to you again.